Okay. Well, good afternoon, and thank you again for joining us for today's COVID-19 update. I am here to report that today we have 22 more positive cases in Iowa. That brings the total positive COVID-19 cases to 90 since March 8th, and they are in 24 counties. We had 166 tests that were negative, bringing the total of negative tests to 1,215. In addition, today I signed a disaster emergency proclamation that takes additional steps to protect Iowans and to mitigate the spread of the virus. Effective at 10 p.m. today, salons and barbershops, medical spas, massage therapy, tattoo establishments, tanning salons, and swimming pools will be closed until March 31st. Also, foreclosures will be suspended on residential, commercial, and agricultural properties. Also, licensing relief for medical professionals will ensure that doctors, nurses, and others who are ready to step up and serve are able to do so. Additional relief will be provided for all Iowans with professional licenses, so they won't have to gather for in-person continuing education or worrying about their license expiring during this disaster. You know, it's hard to believe, but 1 week ago, I recommended that Iowa schools temporarily close for 4 weeks to help mitigate and slow the spread of the virus across our state. And since that time, Iowans have asked, what about child care? And this question has generated many opinions and high emotions among Iowans from border to border, and we certainly understand why. You know, as a grandmother of 10 young children, I share your concern during this very uncertain time. Our children are precious, and we want to always ensure their health and safety. Many people felt that when schools close, child care should also close, but the two decisions are not the same. Each has consequences that impact families, but in the situation that we face today, the impact of closing childcare is significantly different. The reality is, if childcare closes, parents of young children who are employed in essential services such as healthcare, emergency services, food production and supply, and manufacturing won't be able to work. And now more than ever, we need these essential services up and running. It's these workers are needed to care for Iowans who are and may become sick with COVID-19 so that we can continue to provide emergency services and law enforcement, to keep grocery stores stocked and open, and to ensure the manufacturing and delivery of critical service supplies continue. We need to support them at this time by continuing to care for their young children so that they can do what's necessary to serve the needs of Iowans. My team, along with the Department of Public Health, the Department of Human Services, and the Department of Education, have spent a lot of time considering how to keep childcare open, to look for ways to increase access, and best protect our youngest Iowans. In a few minutes, I'm going to have the Department of Human Services Director Garcia share information about new practices for existing childcare centers, and I will also have Director Lebo give you an update on our education system. But first, I want to address the proactive steps that we're taking now to increase childcare availability and capacity during this time. The Department of Human Services and the Department of Education have reached out to all of Iowa's 99 counties to determine where childcare is needed most to support the continuation of essential services. We're partnering with school superintendents, community organizations, and churches across the state to identify space and volunteers, so we can quickly stand up child care programs for school-aged children whose parents are essential employees, especially in areas that are most impacted by the COVID-19 at this time. Some communities have already stepped up. 117 school districts and non-public schools have said that they're willing and able to provide the space needed for child care programs, and 94 of those have staff to get a program up and running. Starting tomorrow, in Council Bluffs Community School District, we will be registering children of essential workers at Longfellow Elementary for a program that will serve 120 children from preschool through sixth grade. The program will start Tuesday and will be free of charge for families in the area. Waterloo and Van Meter School Districts are also committed to providing this need for their communities and are working hard to have programs in place soon. So the biggest need we have right now is space where we can safely stand up these child care programs. I'm asking schools, churches, and other community facilities to join us in being a part of this solution. If you have the space, we have a plan to quickly put a program in place. We're ready to do what's necessary to support Iowa's essential workers and their families at this critical time. And I want to express just once again my heartfelt gratitude to them for all they're doing to protect the health and safety and well-being of Iowans. We stand with you and your families, and we are here to help. So with that, I want to invite Director Garcia to give an update to you about new child care mitigation requirements and to give more detailed information on what we can do to ramp up health care. But before I do that, I want to especially thank Kelly and her team who have been working around the clock to meet the needs of many Iowans across this state. We have an incredible state workforce that's just working around the clock to meet the needs of Iowans. So, Kelly?
Thank you, Governor. This afternoon, I'm going to walk through guidance released to all child care centers and also discuss our agency's plans around providing child care to school-aged children affected by school closures. But first, like the Governor just said, I want to take a moment and acknowledge all public servants who are out there on the front lines ensuring Iowans remain safe, healthy, and well. To my own DHS team, 2,000 of you who can't work remotely right now because you serve Iowans with intellectual disabilities at our resource centers, clients at our mental health institutes, youth at our Boys State Training School, children in need of assistance, and Iowans seeking food and medical assistance, I thank you. I'm also tremendously proud of my team, who continues to support our work-from-home efforts, including our IT team. No small efforts there to get 2,500 people working from home. And those who are pushing out child support and checks to providers. Your efforts are essential to so many families and providers across our state. Now I'd like to extend a heartfelt thank you to child care providers, to the more than 4,300 centers and registered homes across the state. Thank you for your bravery you've shown in not shuttering your doors. Many have shifted their business model to serve non-school-aged children of first responders and hospital staff. You, too, are public servants, caring for children and keeping them safe during this unprecedented time. Late last week, DHS issued updated guidance to each of these centers. Our guidance continues to provide centers with practical advice that mitigates the spread of COVID-19. Protocols include parents dropping off children at the door where staff can check each child's temperature before check-in. Children and staff with a fever of 100.4 or above must go home, no exceptions. Distancing as much as possible within existing centers is highly encouraged. And we'd also ask that all centers remove plush toys, prohibit toys brought from home, and send all blankets that children use during the day through nap time home daily for cleaning. We've also asked that child care centers send daily updates on their openings to our child care resource and referral service. Yesterday, we posted a map that will allow parents in need of care to more easily find centers with openings. Parents can scan by county and see openings by age group. They'll even be able to click on a button and call the center directly. This is big news in our world. We'll keep it up throughout this time and moving forward as well. This map is fed daily by updated information, so the information is only as good as the data input. And because of that, we're proactively reaching out to centers to make sure we have a daily feed. Now, as Governor Reynolds mentioned, we do understand that parents of school-aged children who are critical to our state's response efforts may also be in need of care. DHS has reached out to local emergency managers, our hospital systems, and in partnership with the Department of Education, each of our school districts to assess need and stand up emergency sites. DHS stands ready to assist local communities in responding to this need. We've streamlined our regulatory process and partnered with a number of community organizations, including the YMCA, to locate caregivers who already have background checks. Locations will receive an on-site visit by DHS staff. We'll ensure the location is able to care for children in groups of 10. The space is age-appropriate, and caregivers have met all background checks. Parents will be asked to fill out a simple form that highlights essential information such as allergies, ways to comfort children, emergency contacts, and who is authorized to pick up a child. The same drop-off protocols required by child care centers will also apply at these emergency sites. As many have stepped forward to provide this care, more help is needed. We strongly encourage school districts, superintendents and teachers, faith-based organizations, and other community groups, all of whom are also called to public service, to step forward and work in partnership with us to provide this service to their local communities. Our goal today is the same as it always is, to provide safe care, meeting the needs of the families we serve. We have a dedicated email address for all provider questions listed on our website, and we know there will be many questions. We appreciate the grace while we charter new waters together.
And now I'd like Director Lebo with the Department of Education to give an update on all of the great work that you have been doing with superintendents and school districts across the state. Ann?
Thank you, Governor Reynolds. I want to start by simply saying thank you. Thank you to our educators for adapting so quickly to this changing landscape we find ourselves in. I am so impressed with the way you have stepped up to serve our state, our schools, and our communities. I would also like to commend schools for continuing to pay their staff during school closures. Your tireless efforts to support the education system at this difficult time are valued and needed. I'd like to thank the staff and our state government agencies, including the Department of Education and AEAs. I spent the last week with members of my team coordinating with other agencies to prioritize critical services for kids and families, providing learning opportunities to when school is closed, offering meals, and now ensuring child care for essential workers. The ongoing coordination with us from the local level is extraordinary by superintendents, food bank directors, and many others. In addition to providing distance learning, many of our teachers also are in contact with families to check on students and to make sure they know about educational resources that are available for kids, while other staff are going above and beyond to make sure our schools are cleaned and ready for next steps. The Department of Education will continue to provide guidance to our schools, parents, and communities as we receive new information. We want to hear from Iowans about issues as they arise, and we will work to address those issues as quickly as possible. I appreciate your partnership in this effort, and you will continue to hope you will continue to reach out to us with your questions and needs. Thank you.
Thank you. With that, we'll open it up for questions. Yeah. And so, we're dealing with this shortage all across the country, and Iowa is no exception, and we're being proactive and really making sure that we can provide our health care providers the personal protective equipment that they need to continue to serve Iowans. And so we're working with the administration and FEMA to address the stock, to stock our national stockpile. So orders are going in there. Orders are going in from the to local providers as well. We have stood up a system in our state. Well, actually, it's been set up, but we're actually, stood that up with the National Guard and the Department of Public Health so that they can order through there, so the health care facilities can order through the system, and then we can help prioritize where some of the hot zones are to make sure that we can keep track of what the supplies are and how we can get them to the areas that we need to get them to, monitoring the levels that they have. As I indicated in the last press conference, we're working with our private sector to meet some of the PPE needs with the Department of Corrections. We now have them working on masks as well as other areas. We've had some of our industry partners provide masks in the interim until we can get the next shipment in, and then we are also working with gowns and sanitizer, and just across the board, Director Durham as well as many other people are reaching out to individual businesses to see if they can retrofit and help us provide some of the PPE equipment that we need. So, Kay, we're continuing to hit it just on all fronts, and I think that's what we need to continue to do. So they have to prioritize as well, so that's why our order is in. I think we expect a next order at Monday or Tuesday, we're expecting a shipment in. So, you know, we're monitoring that very closely. Another thing I would encourage healthcare providers that are doing elective surgeries, they might consider putting those on hold and reallocating some of their personal protective equipment, and many of them are already doing it. So I would encourage others to think about, is this a surgery that we could put off? It's elective. Maybe we can schedule that later after we've gotten through this crisis, and then in the meantime, I can do my part and I can help allocate some of the personal protective equipment that I have to some of the hot spots.
Are you being price gouged? The governor of New York today said that he had to spend $7 per mask. They're usually less than $1.
We have not experienced any of that. I have experienced such a willingness. I mean, I literally have businesses reaching out to me saying, what can I do? How can I help? Well, it's still, you know, they've got to ask, too. They're trying to meet their needs, and sometimes they're looking at what their burn rate is, and they're looking at the numbers that they're seeing. And so we're mitigating all of that. But that's also why it's really important, I believe, to utilize the system that we have in place so that we can manage some of that and make sure we have some understanding of what the requests are out there. We can align that or overlay that with where we're seeing some of the cases, where we're seeing some of the potential hot spots, and then do the allocation in a strategic manner that can help buy us some time until some of these businesses can follow through with what they're trying to do, where I can get the Department of Corrections and some of their facilities to get those mask process and procedures up and running. So we're going to continue to work on it, and we're going to attack it from all fronts, and there's a great, I think, a tremendous amount of coordination going on. Additionally, my team and Department of Public Health meet with our healthcare providers almost on a daily basis to just walk through some of those coordination, whether it's equipment or, you know, beds. They're having that conversation statewide so that we're ready and prepared in case we see a surge.
Governor, your message to social distance has been clear. We've had some viewers call in, though, and message us about either businesses or people gathering in groups of 10 or more that they feel are violating some of these recommendations at the risk of other safety. Is there any way to formally report that, or how can they be held accountable?
Well, first of all, we're Iowans, and we should all hold ourselves accountable, and we should do the right thing. And I've said it over and over and over. To prevent a surge and crashing our healthcare system, we need to be responsible. If you're not feeling well, stay home. I just don't think I can reiterate it enough. We have a role to play in really protecting the health of our fellow Iowans, and this is how you do it. This is how you protect an elderly Iowan with underlying conditions or somebody that's very vulnerable from getting COVID-19 and potentially, you know, not only being severely impacted but ultimately dying from it. And so it's that serious. And you can do your part by staying home, social distancing. If you're sick, even mildly sick, stay home for the 7 days through the incubation period. And if we all do this, we will get through this and we'll get life back to normal in a quicker timeline than if we don't.
I like to think that every Iowan is playing their part, but for those who aren't, is there any way to report?
Well, I would just encourage every Iowan to encourage everyone in your family. Get on social media. Say, I'm doing my part or you're doing yours. Let's use social media. Let's talk to your friends. As you're social gathering through social media, then, you know, encourage them. Look for opportunities to do things like that. But I have to also manage our law enforcement and our first responders to make sure that we're utilizing them in a responsible manner, too. So if they're not abiding by what we're asking you to do, by staying home if you're sick, by social distancing, by taking this seriously, you're also impacting and stressing our resources from a law enforcement perspective as well, from our first responders. So this is a way that we can really have a big impact on all of those areas.
Governor, with personal protective equipment, do you have numbers on how much Iowa needs or has requested from the federal government? You said there was going to be a shipment coming Monday or Tuesday. What's the timeline for delivery of some of that?
Well, so Monday or Tuesday, I think, is when we're getting a shipment. But, Joyce, I don't know. Do you want to talk about some of the times that you're putting them in? But it's hard to get an overall actual.
Yes, and as the governor said, we're taking a look at this from a statewide perspective. So I don't honestly know the mass number at this point, but what we're doing in conjunction with the Department of Public Health is looking at those hot spots, as the governor has referenced, prioritizing those, and working with National Guard, DOT, DPS to, as quickly as the product comes in, they determine where it's going to go, and it's out the door as quickly as possible. I don't off the top of my head. Things are changing so quickly. I know we put in an order, but I honestly don't remember the quantities in that order.
Governor, are there any plans
to... This will be the last question in the room before we move to the conference line.
Are there any plans to equip Iowa hotels and dorms into emergency hospital capacity?
So do you want to talk about that, too? This is Director Flynn with Homeland Security Emergency and Management.
The Army Corps of Engineers has a mission from FEMA to assist states with... converting facilities or building facilities as needed. They have reached out to us to ensure that they have valid contact information, and if that becomes necessary, we will work with them on that effort.
So that's the procedure that we take, that if there is a request like that, it's missioned through the Web EOC, and that's identified, attached to somebody, and then they start doing the background so that we're ready to go should that happen, and that is in place.
Channel 13, go ahead and ask your question.
No, because I think we can manage it if Iowans will do what I'm asking them to do. We have a lot of essential services. We have a supply chain. We have a healthcare system that we need to stand up. And so we need to make sure that we have a workforce that's able to meet those needs. And if people do their part, if they are sick and they stay home for the incubation period, if they have a fever, a cough, respiratory issues, if they will pick up the phone and call their doctor, they will walk through an assessment with them, they will determine whether maybe they need to take a test for the flu, and then decide if maybe that's why they're ill, and if that's not the case, then maybe they would move to a test for the COVID-19. So those are steps that individuals can take to help us mitigate and manage and helpfully, as I've said over and over, bend the curve and prevent crashing our healthcare system, for lack of a better word. And so at this point, you know, we're going to continue to reevaluate every day. We'll sit down with the Department of Public Health. We'll look at the CDC guidelines. We'll look at what's happening in other states. And we'll evaluate what we're seeing in the state of Iowa and where the hotspots are. And we'll make that decision going forward. But right now, we're not at the place where we're ready to implement that order.
KCCI, next question is yours.
You want to talk, since yours has a lot of
potential. I think your question is, tell me if I caught everything. It's a little hard to hear you on the microphone, but what's being done for employees who still have to be on the front lines? So we have the largest presence of that. Director Skinner at DOC has the next largest presence of frontline staff. We are scanning temperatures just like we're doing at childcare facilities. We are making sure that all of that is happening at shift change for our social workers who interact with children in need of assistance and go into families' homes. We're calling ahead of time, or if we can't call ahead of time because it's an emergency situation, we are equipping them at the door to assess whether there's anyone who's ill in the house. We are also have an order in with the Department of Corrections to equip our social workers and as well as child care centers with hand sanitizer that can be in their car so they can easily distance during their work and then get back in their car, and since they may not have a space to wash their hands. There's a number of other efforts, but those are highlights.
Next question is Iowa Capitol Dispatch, Kathy Obradovich.
Thanks for taking our question, Governor.
Yeah.
Is this for the small business owners out there who are deciding whether to apply for the disaster assistance that your office announced was available yesterday? Some business owners are wondering if they apply for that assistance now, if that will make them ineligible for any congressional relief that may be coming. want to get your best advice to the small business owners.
Yeah, oh, that's a really good That's a really good question, Kathy. Thank you for asking that. So right now, we'll be standing that application up on Tuesday, and at the press conference tomorrow, we're going to have Director Durham and Director Paulson here to walk through some of the specifics of that. So this is timely. Hopefully by tomorrow, when we do the overview at our press conference tomorrow, we can have the answer to that question. I don't know the answer to that right now, but that's a really good question, and I will check on that and make sure that that's not a problem.
We're going to do two more questions. The second to last question is Beth with KCRG.
Hi, Governor. I have a question. You know, you really have a 360-degree view as the executive of our state. And as you look at projections from various models on the spread of this virus, you know, I just was looking at one from Stanford University Research Center, and it shows just on an estimation of the number of hospital beds here in Iowa, we could potentially run out of beds, even with the ramp up. And I know all hospitals really are ramping up right now, and have been for the past month. We could potentially run out of beds by this projection by mid-May. If you don't implement a shelter in place, like our neighbor Illinois has, within the next week or so, are you seeing projections like that?
I'm going to have Sarah from the Department of Public Health address some of these. But, you know, the numbers are changing every hour when it comes to the number of hospital beds. But the majority of the positive cases that we had today were mildly ill. And so if we, too, continue to take the precautions that we put in place in the next week or two, we're going to see if the things that we've implemented have really bent the curve like we anticipate that happening, which will help us really mitigate and strategically use our resources in the most effective manner, and that would include beds as well. So a big part of managing the beds is also making sure that we have the healthcare professionals to stand up the hospitals. And so again, if we take the precautions that we're asking Iowans to take and we mitigate the usage there, then we can hopefully spread that out over time. Sarah, do you want to address that a little bit more?
Thank you, Governor. And what I would say about that is that we do continue every day to watch what's happening in other states. We pay attention to the mitigation strategies that are being used in other states. We pay attention to national models that are developed, and we're also developing our own models. So we are very much keeping an eye on the data and what's happening and where our cases are occurring. We will continue to do that sort of evaluation and continue to provide the best guidance we can to the governor as she makes decisions in the days and weeks to come.
And the last question, we'll go to Aaron Murphy with WE News.
Thanks, Governor. Just wondering, of all the data that we're tracking right now, are we tracking the number of people who are hospitalized, and do we know how many of the 90 cases have recovered?
I don't know the recovery piece, so I don't know the recovery.
The Department of Public Health does have that information, but I don't have it with me right now to be able to answer your question presently. But that is information that we are closely tracking. We work with our local public health partners in each of our 99 counties to check in on our confirmed cases in each of those counties. And so that information is available to us. I just don't have it in my hand right now to be able to provide that to you today.
Okay. I just want to close out the press conference again by just a heartfelt plea to Iowans to be responsible and help be a part of the solution. And that is, if you're not feeling well or you're sick, please stay home. And if you've got a loved one or a child that's sick, keep them at home as well. And if we all do that, we will get through this, and we will bend the curve, and we will help from shutting down our healthcare system. So thanks for all that you're doing, and just encourage you to play a role in helping protect the lives and the health of all Iowans. Thank you.